This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to as live as it can be from the very wintry East Coast. Lots of stories tonight, but I'm going to get you all caught up on what's been happening. I want to welcome you to episode 1340 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 17th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out and allowing Kirk to entertain you while I have been bouncing around the country. Lots more on that. But if you're brand new to the show, I want to give you a warm welcome. Make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and subscribe to the show. You'll find multiple ways to do that right on the right-hand column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can subscribe to the newsletter while you're there as well. And of course, this show, when I'm on travel, is only audio. So for about the next month, it's audio only. So make sure you stay aligned and tuned in to the audio portion of the show here while I'm gone. Of course, you can listen to the show on at blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. You can contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or ask to be part of our Slack family. You can follow me on Facebook as well. Our partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, The Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, Podcast Legend, of course, GNC Weekly. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy, and of course, the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. You can find all my deals at GoDaddy at Geek News Central, or for GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a $2.49 per month website or a $0.99.com or 30% off a new GoDaddy product purchase. That's a place to go to get hooked up on GoDaddy products and services. I do want to thank all of you. We had our December numbers come in while I was on travel, and we had a good month in December. So I want to thank you for your continued support here and helping me continue to do this show and keep the lights on, the bills paid, and all the things that go along with that. So again, lots of big thank yous for everyone out there for your continued support of picking up products at GoDaddy.com. That said, we are just about, well, we're a little under a month away from Valentine's Day. And, you know, it can be candy, that's good, chocolates, it can be flowers, you name it for Valentine's Day, but why don't you make a combo deal here? Why don't you get those flowers and candy, and at the same time, maybe put together a sweetheart website for you and your honey, something special, maybe some pictures, memories that you own. That's something you're going to put up on Facebook, something that you control, something that allows you to have ownership of, something that you can even password protect that only you and your honey will be able to see. And definitely check out all those products and services at GoDaddy. And of course, making a personal private website is just a real simple thing to do using the managed WordPress sites. Great way to go. So definitely check out all those products and services at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, everyone, obviously I am back. I'm on travel. I'm absolutely, I guess for a better word, kind of like almost still in a daze for the past month. It's been really pretty insane. If I think about it, when I was last with you, I was preparing to, basically Christmas was coming up and y'all knew I was getting ready to leave because my daughter was expecting my first grandchild. So of course, when I got the call late on December 24th, by my daughter's husband telling me that my daughter Natalie was in labor. I was ecstatic. I knew that baby would be along shortly, and sure enough, on Christmas Day, my new granddaughter, Alora, or my first granddaughter, Alora Sky, was born, and I was really couldn't be more ecstatic. Her mother was sending some pictures. I was getting stuff. You know, they all flooded Facebook. And of course, I did too. But Christmas evening, after I'd spent time with my family and my wife's sister and her kids, I flew out late Christmas evening and landed in Tampa the mid-morning on the 26th. And by the time I got my rental car and picked up flowers, I got over to their place just about 15 minutes before they were scheduled to, well, they got released from the hospital, and I arrived literally 15 minutes before they did. So I was there to film the baby coming home, and it was fantastic. So I got 4 really good days with my daughter and, of course, her husband and Alora, and it was absolutely fantastic. Obviously, didn't do anything, just hung out the house, you know, helped them with things that they needed, ran for food, did errands, that kind of thing, and really just enjoyed some quality time as my daughter was resting and recovering as much as she could. But everything's on track, and the baby's doing great, and mom's doing great, and they're starting to get settled into a little bit of a battle rhythm. For those of you parents out there, you know how those first that first month can be. It's kind of crazy, and we're only really 3 weeks out from the birth date, so it's they're still kind of getting their, you know, their feet wet, as one would say. But anyway, after that, I flew home on the 30th. And the next, or was it the 31st? No, it was the 30th. And my wife and her sister were already in the Airbnb. I got home, got some laundry done, and then my son had an event. And the next morning, I picked him up on New Year's Eve, and we drove into Waikiki and joined the rest of the gang and spent New Year's in New Year's Eve and New Year's night in Waikiki. It was kind of anticlimactic, to be honest with you. My wife's sister and they were all out. They fell out and slept before the New Year's. So we went down the beach and watched the fireworks, and that was fantastic. So I was, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about CES, and so enjoyed the first, and then the morning of the second, went to FedEx with the shipment of stuff to go to FedEx. Then really right after that, it was the evening of the third. I or did I take stuff to FedEx on the 30? No, I think I took stuff on the second. Doesn't matter. Flew out to Vegas Thursday night, the third, landed the morning of the fourth. Did my normal running to Walmart, picking up water, various supplies, got checked into the hotel. This year I stayed at the D. You know, the D wasn't bad, but I'll be honest with you, just too loud in the evening. They have a tendency to attract a little younger crowd, and the plaza itself is not like blow you out too loud, but the D, just not fun, really, to kind of hang out in around the casino area in the evening. Daytime's not bad, but and of course it's cold in Vegas, so we weren't really hanging out on Fremont Street. My mom flew in Friday as well, and but we had work to do. So a Saturday, no, excuse me, Sunday, we went and picked up the gear at FedEx. And picked up our badges and our wristbands, our special access passes, and all that stuff, and started to set the studio up on Sunday. Believe it or not, and for, you know, Jack, and for you know, for many of you that have been out with me for CES setup. Michael and, of course, Kirk, you guys know it can be a little bit stressful things. I have a tendency to, for better word, lose my mind during that period if anything kind of goes sideways. But I only had a couple of minor hiccups within by about 4:30, 5 o'clock. We were pretty much dialed in. I did have a camera issue, so I called the Gadget Professor, and I said, hey, I need you to bring a camera. It's kind of funny. He brought me a PTZ camera, but it turns out he brought one that had an SDI output instead of an HDMI. So we end up doing some horse trading with some of the team members, and we finally were able to get the product shot set up. And everything went pretty good from there. The only thing I was not happy with CES this year was I had a lot of trouble with headset audio. And without someone always riding the mixer to turn the microphone off on the guests, we got a lot of rattle and rumble. I may have not had the compressor and gate dialed in exactly, but overall, the audio quality was good. It's just a little bit too much mic noise for my liking. So, but you know, as we were talking with the team members and talking with the CEA rep there, we were like the hardest working group in that broadcast tower. Even though we only did 6 hours live each day, we were in there consistently. Our guests were in and out. We had very few no shows this year. Didn't have to use a lot of fill video, which is good, which we've had to in the past. And as we kind of looked at the broadcast tower and actually got up on top, because there was an area up on top that's available or wasn't available, but we think next year we are going to go back to a more of a live type of background shot where we'll be up on the second floor and have a view of the show floor and the people walking around instead of a static backdrop, which can be a bit boring over time. So we're going to shoot for that next year. But, you know, I had, as we had talked early in the year, and I talked to all of you about it, I was really kind of on the fence on whether or not to go back and do live this year. And to be frank with you, it's just a lot of work. And I'm not into walking the floor with a camera anymore. It's definitely a young man's job to do that. And again, I'm just not into walking the floor as much. So the guys from F5 Live, who we've worked with for many, many years, suggested that they take the helm next year and do the planning and execution, and I show up and be a host. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a cool idea. So we'll collaborate on gear and everything, but if I can have someone take care of booking, the planning, the emails, it's a huge, and I don't think they fully realize yet what they have signed up for. It's a huge, huge undertaking to just get everything booked and lined up. And I think that what we'll do is, you know, have a couple of meetings and, you know, mid-year, and we'll turn things over to them. But it's going to be kind of, in my opinion, a little more relaxing because they will be in charge of the booth, of the broadcast booth, and I'll be able to just show up and, of course, help out and do the pack out and loading and bag drag and all that stuff. So, you know, we had a good week, very stress-free. Matter of fact, all the team members said I was the calmest they'd ever seen me. And it was a calm show. We had a lot of great guests. I think the lineup was very diverse. If you watched any of the live stream, you got to see the variety of products and services that came across. And we were streaming on 5 or 6 different platforms, having huge trouble with Facebook. Facebook kept dropping. About every 40 minutes, we'd lose the stream to Facebook. And It may have been part hardware, part of the issue with Wowza, we're not for sure, but YouTube was solid as a rock the entire time. So the YouTube videos are the best, minus the day that I forgot to start the YouTube stream for about 90 minutes. But other than that, you know, in days past, I would have lost my mind on that event alone. But I just like, okay, be calm. You're a lot of other places. You're good. So we did have a little problem with Twitter for a little bit on Friday. We think someone reported one of the videos for copyright violation. We're down about 20 minutes on Twitter. But other than that, we finished the coverage about 1:30 Pacific. The rest of the teams had to go out and do a few more interviews. I essentially packed the studio up, had everything ready, and about 3 o'clock we rolled. The show didn't close until 4, but by 3 we were pulling the Pelican cases towards the parking garage. And this year had everything on rollers. There was only a monitor to carry. And then by 4:15, I had stuff dropped at FedEx. And we were back to the hotel by 5 and dinner with the team at 6:45. And it just ended up being a great week. So Sunday morning, Saturday is usually my day to kind of like decompress, relax, sleep in. I did that. And then on Sunday morning, very, very early, had to leave the hotel about 3:30 in the morning. I packed up, went to the airport, got to Honolulu about 12:30, and I got home, threw my stuff in the washing machine, repacked my suitcase, had 24 hours on the ground, and by 2 o'clock on Monday, I was on an airplane headed towards Washington, D.C. for my first set of meetings this week. And so this is where I am at right now. So I've had one day home since the 3rd of January, and I'm going to be, this is going to be an extended trip, a very, very important trip for me, and a number of reasons business-wise. So I'm scheduled not to go home until February 16th. So I'm going to be bouncing around the Eastern Seaboard and maybe even some trips to the Midwest and even our Columbus office. But anyway, on the road shows all the way through this month. So I've spent some time to get you guys caught up here, but I will tell one funny story. I landed in Dulles at 7:30 in the morning Tuesday. Tuesday, and waited a long time for the Hertz vehicle, a long time, and I had not rented from Hertz for a while, but they were the cheapest here in Dulles for a compact, and I was a little annoyed, and so was the lady that was waiting with me. We were like, what's taking them so long? And finally, the Hertz vehicle picked up, and we got on, and the driver didn't say too much. He says, "Are you guys in a gold canopy?" And yeah, we are. And we got to the Hertz lot, and it was empty. There was a couple of real high-end vehicles in the lot, but there wasn't a vehicle one. And I walked into, my name wasn't on the gold canopy, and neither was the lady that was in the Hertz vehicle with me. And we walked in, and I'm like, "What's going on?" He says, "We don't have any cars." And hands me a piece of paper. And I've got like number 26 on it. And there was people there. And I'm like, "What do you mean you don't have no cars? I have a reservation." He said, "Yesterday, during the 4 hours that Dulles was closed, apparently they closed for the snow, 541 vehicles got rented in 4 hours. And they had not one car on the lot." So I probably waited about maybe 70 minutes, maybe 80 minutes for basically a car would return. They would run it to the wash rack, pull it up. It would still be dripping. And a person would basically walk out, get them in the vehicle, and they would drive off. So I had to wait for 26 people, or wasn't quite that many, probably 20 people to get their vehicles dropped off and then get a car to get out of there. And by the time I left, I think they were up to like 52 and handing out little notes to people. It was amazing. And I'm glad I got in there early because I can't imagine it having been later when more flights were coming in. So long story short, they had a run on vehicles, and I never seen anything like it. But anyway, all's well that ends well. Everything's going good here, and I've talked for quite a little bit, and we'll get into the content. If you're new to the show, this is a little longer than usual. I usually talk 8, 9, 10 minutes about stuff, but I'm trying to catch everybody up on almost a month of being away. And I do want to say a thanks to Kirk for him for his hosting the show 3 times while I was out. I know that he'd gotten some feedback from some of you, and I appreciate those that feedback and the constructive criticism. And as you guys know, Kirk is still very early in his podcasting time, but I wanted to give him the more mic time a person gets, the better they are and the more confidence they have in doing the show. And for me, that's an important part of, what I'm hoping is fostering some, fostering someone to do a show and to get better over time. And again, if you're thinking about doing a podcast and you'd like to get aligned with Geek & Century, you can always send me an email, tell me about your show idea, and see if you'd like to align with me here in producing content around the Geek & Century brand with your own independent brand, but be part of the family. All right, let's go ahead and get into the content tonight. We've got a nice lineup of stuff. Of course, the big news this week over the last several days has been about Netflix and raising their prices. And most of us are going to see $1 or $2 increase to our monthly subscription to Netflix. But if you think about it, recently at least, the most stuff I've been watching has been on Netflix. I think I'd been on Amazon quite a bit, and I flipped back and forth between services, but Netflix has definitely held my attention more over the past month or so. The Netflix Bird Box, of course, is a big release, but they've had a huge number of folks that have come on to the service, and I think their costs have gone up too because they're having to basically create a lot of original content. They're not getting licensing deals as much as they did with other companies' contents because they're launching their own services. So we'll see what happens with this increase in price. I don't think many of us will be canceling. It's a minimal increase, but as long as they can continue to create great movies in original format, I think it's good. Another series that I got turned on to was actually introduced to me by my son's girlfriend. She was watching a series called Terrace House. It's out of Japan. It's really unique, and it's about six young folks, three men and three women, that live together in a home. There was one season that happened in Hawaii, and excuse me. It doesn't have a lot of the crazy drama that you would see in a full American production of something like this, but it really shines through on the Japanese culture at large. So if you search for a terrace place, and definitely check the series out. The Japanese series is subtitled. I think you'll get a kick out of it and learn a lot about Japanese culture at the same time. Meanwhile, Netflix reported their revenue earnings, and they did a miss on revenue, but they exceeded on subscribers. So their stock is a little bit down. But of course, with them raising subscription prices, I think you're going to, probably they're trying to beef up. Of course, they get a lot of expense for all these movies that they're doing. So, but anyway, I think that some folks who bought Netflix early on took quite a beating, but it's been in recovery mode here for quite a while, and this little bump, I don't think will affect it too much. Verizon is a little bit of a spat with a school text provider in a dispute over basically a texting fee. After being criticized for charging a new fee that could kill a free texting service for teachers and students, Ryzen is trying to deflect blame over the possible shutdown. And what's been happening here is that a company called, and I'm familiar with it because I've seen this before, I think it's called Remind. Remind is a service that works with coaches, teachers, clubs, and it basically allows them to send information via text for sporting events, reminders for practice, that kind of stuff. And the increase in Verizon's pricing for commercial texting was going to cost the company about $900,000 a year, in addition to, well, from $100,000 to over $1 million. And the folks at Remind basically said, hey, we can't absorb that. You know, we have a big user base that uses a free tier, a small base that uses the pro tier. We're going to have to stop the free texting for the free tier, and basically kind of accuse Verizon of, you know, a tenfold extortion in their price increase. We all know that texting is a profit center for mobile companies, but Verizon is backed down a little bit and said that they will not charge for texts that are being used by teachers and clubs and some K-12 sporting stuff. So it'll help, but Verizon also is not happy that Remind basically use social media as kind of an attack dog to criticize their pricing. Well, it's effective. Verizon needs to understand that, and while it's their job to make money, at the same time, if you have a if you try to charge companies too much, you can put them out of business or ruin a service that folks use. And I guess in this case, the K through 12 argument won Verizon over. But it's an interesting situation where social media was used to shame Verizon, and then Verizon in its response is saying, okay, we'll let the K through 12 piece of text go free. They shamed them back as well. So it was kind of a little tit for tat, which I thought to be quite interesting. A woman is suing T-Mobile after employees allegedly snoop on racy private video. So a New Jersey woman sued T-Mobile in state of court last week for sexual harassment, invasion of privacy, and other counts. She claims that when she went to trade in her iPhone 7 in a store, two male employees rifled through her photos without her consent. She says the men allegedly quickly found a private naked video of the woman. Ladies, why are you putting naked videos on your phones? Which she referred to in a complaint as NE and played it for themselves. So T-Mobile hasn't responded to the questions, although they said we take customers' privacy extremely seriously and are investigating the claims. And so here's something we have to think about. If we're going to have media on our phones that would be embarrassing, and you're going to be going to a phone store to either trade up, trade in, wouldn't it be advisable to put those pictures someplace where, or video someplace where someone with a little bit of a prying eye wouldn't find? It doesn't excuse the employees for rifling through her photos and videos. But it is, I think we all have to use a little due caution in what we are, what we have on our phones when we bring it in for an upgrade or exchange or whatever it may be. There can be embarrassing photos and videos on there, and people will do, you know, what they do. They'll snoop around and review it, but I don't quite know how she figured out that they were watching the video. It seems a little odd that they would have done it directly in front of her. I don't know. She said she had her AirPods in, and so she could hear them watching the video through the AirPods. So that's how she figured out they were watching, because she was having the screen fixed or replaced. That's interesting. Still, be careful what you put on your mobile devices, right? Hey, a new massive security breach exposes almost everything about everyone. Security researcher Troy Hunt, who maintains the website Have I Been Pawned, for those who want to know if their email addresses or passwords have been compromised, has released a report on a truly massive breach of some 773 million records. Even worse, that's actually the net impact after he attempted to strip the data of duplicate and useless fields that didn't actually contain email addresses or associated passwords. And he's come from a huge variety of sites, not just some of the stuff that's been publicly announced already. So you can definitely go and check this and see if any of your data's there or see if any of your passwords have been exposed. Okay, so the link will be up in the show notes. Of course, the government shutdown is continuing. I know we probably have some listeners that are out of work. And, you know, one thing I keep seeing reoccurring on Facebook is the commentary about lost wages. Now, obviously, some of these folks are not getting a paycheck right now. That can be challenging for many. Many banks and credit unions are offering interest-free loans. I know Navy Federal Credit Union is offering a $6,000 credit-free loan to cover over the period in which paychecks were lost. And I know it's tough on families. But one thing I always like to remind people, and I know some of you may get mad at this, but those employees that are furloughed are home. And they're not working. Yet, when the government comes off of this furlough or this closure, whenever that may be, and again, I don't want to get into the politics of it, the employees will be made whole. There's never been an instance where people actually lost wages. They were able to get their full paycheck, even though they were not working. Now, what they do lose is longevity. They lose credits towards vacation time, so they've lost some vacation time. But they do get their full paycheck restored while they have been off. And a friend of mine has been furloughed, and he was already driving for Uber and Lyft. And he says, I've been driving every day for Uber and Lyft. And he says, I made as much as my paycheck would have been. So he was laughing to me. He's like, yeah, I've been on vacation and I basically made more money this go around than what I would have been if I was just working alone. Now, I know that isn't the case for the majority of folks, but at least one individual made the best of it and is still making the best of it. There was some protests at NASA Space Center as workers pushed back on the government shutdown, and we've seen some of that as well. So we'll see where this ends, but with a $4 trillion budget and $5 or $6 billion being asked for the security fence, or whatever they're calling it now, the wall, the see-through wall, or whatever it is, seems kind of silly to me if you think about it. On $4 trillion, over $6 billion, they're squabbling over that little amount. It's just pure politics at this point. And I don't think either side is going to give anytime soon. So we'll see. All right, all-day comic books you can get for free on Free Comic Book Day is going to be out in May. But this year's Free Comic Book Day isn't, again, happening until May 4th. But there's a lineup of 12 gold sponsor comics and 39 silver sponsors this year. And a bunch of free comics are going to be given out. And if you're interested, if you're a comic book lover, you can get a list of all the free comic books that are going to be available on May 4th. Doesn't mean you can get, you know, like 40 free comics, but you can probably get a couple of free comics from each participating store on Free Comic Book Day. Those of you that have gotten drones for Christmas, or maybe you've just purchased one, you want to be aware of the regulations around drones and the FAA and how you can be licensed and how you can have everything set up properly so that you don't get into trouble in flying your drone. There's also some information in the article I'm going to link it to that talks about a commercial drone license, which is pretty slick. And any of you that have a pilot's license already, for you to get a commercial drone license is just a snap. I think you have to take a written test and you're done, because you've done everything else by having a private pilot's license that you would need to get a commercial drone license. So, and if you can pass, if you're a pilot, you probably pass the little test they do with relative ease. Also, if you're picked up a new computer, maybe you're looking for an external hard drive. So the folks over at MakeUseOf.com have a great list of external hard drives for the Mac. You know, I'm really kind of partial at this point on external hard drives with Lacy. I do like Lacy drives a lot. I have built my own too. I've used dual sled SSD drives as well. So there's lots of options out there, but a good list of drives in the show notes for you tonight. And I apologize. I'm fighting a cold, and I was lucky. I didn't get the flu out of Vegas, but since I've arrived on the East Coast in the cold weather, a little bit of a sniffle and a little bit of a cough, but I got out easy. You know, I really did, but I was also being super, super aware of my keeping my hand off my face. You know, you're shaking so many hands, and we had Perel in the studio, and then making sure that, you know, careful what type of surfaces you're touching on the escalators and on, you know, just where you put your hands, where a lot of other people are unconsciously. The cut down on basically all the bad stuff that's carried into CES and germs as such. And I knock on wood, I think I got out pretty good this trip as compared to other years. I'm trying to deal with my mic position here. So yeah, that's a little better. If you have Amazon Music, there's a good article on how to manage your Amazon Music playlist. I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check out. If you're an Android user and you had a private Twitter account, be aware that Twitter accidentally made private accounts public for some Android users. Now, one thing that why would someone use a private account? One thing you can do with a private account is you can use it to do a lot of social media pushes on and tracking of hashtags, and not have the not have to have that go into your regular feed. So anyway, if you had a private Twitter account, be aware. If you're an Android user, some of those accounts became unlocked. This has been going on since 2014, and Twitter is notifying the users that have been affected, okay? All right, PC World is reporting that a 43-inch 4K HDR television with Amazon Fire TV built-in is on sale now for $200. So Best Buy's got a great sale price on this, so be aware. 43-inch Toshiba 4K television with Fire TV built-in, $200. Awesome. So if you're looking for maybe a gaming TV or something like this might be it. Also, I've been loading up on books. I always do that on trips whenever I have time in the hotel as a way to relax or kick back. I read some science fiction books. So the folks at The Verge have recommended 10 new science fiction and fantasy books to check out. So there's some cool ones here. I was kind of looking through the list, and some worthy reads that I definitely look at Amazon to pick up. I like Kindle Unlimited a lot. I can have as many as 10 books at a time checked out. So I don't know if any of these books are available via Kindle Unlimited, but if they are, I'll be definitely grabbing them. Google has basically invested $40 million into the smartwatch tech firm Fossil Group. So this is interesting. Google gets the IP and part of Fossil R&D team to beef up its wearables effort. So is this did they actually buy them? Yeah. Well, they're getting some IP, a section of Fossil's research and development team. What else are they getting? So the Fossil brand is not going away. but they are definitely taking a significant investment in them. So if you're a Fossil fan or any of their other brands like Michael Kors or Armani or Scudgeon or Diesel, these are all under the Fossil group. So you'd be aware that Google is taking a stake in those companies. If you're a Spotify fan, Spotify CarView is helping cut the distractions for drivers. It's only available on Android now. So be aware, if you're in your car and you connect to your car via Bluetooth and you start moving, you may see this new CarView. And this has been adopted by some other folks as well, like Google Maps and Waze. Again, this is a new feature to help reduce distractions while you're driving, while listening to Spotify. John Deere, this is something I missed. John Deere was at CES. They had a combine, yes, a combine in the exhibition center, inside the hall. I saw some pictures of it. I couldn't believe it. I didn't make it over to LVCC, but and I didn't realize John Deere had been to CES before, but they were showing off their tech. They got some good coverage too, because, you know, tech reporters don't normally get to report on farm implements or farm machinery, but they did this time. And you see lots of guys driving tractors around the parking lot and so forth. So John Deere at CES this year. The ACLU has sued the U.S. government over social media surveillance of potential immigrants, and it's seeking more information about the policy to monitor social media of folks that are seeking citizenship or applying to immigrate to the United States. So in its complaint, the ACLU says it filed a Freedom of Information Act request last year, requesting more information about the agency's social media surveillance policies and how they were conducting surveillance. But it says none of the agency's departments have fulfilled those requests, with some saying the requests were too broad, the FBI replying that it couldn't confirm or deny the existence of the records requested, and many just didn't respond. The organization asserts the failure to protect its request in time and manner violates the Freedom of Information Act. So I'm going to be honest with you. The Freedom of Information Act is something that works very effective, but you often have to have very deep pockets to get the information that you want, because you have to pay for it. If it's not something that's just a cursory search, easy to get, you may, it runs up tens of thousands of dollars to actually have the agencies process the information, or sometimes they just ignore you. So in this case, the ACLU is taking the U.S. government to court over this, which protects all of us, to be honest with you. When you're trying to find out information, and it should be available publicly, and it even if some of it's redacted, it's within our rights, and that's why we have a law that's the Freedom of Information Act, where you can request information of your government, whether it be local, state, or federal, to get information on what policies and how things are being implemented across different organizations, or even to get correspondence like emails. When we were working on the issue where I grew up, where we had a child predator in the high school for over 20 years. We were looking for information in those Freedom of Information Act requests to try to determine if there was prior knowledge and if there was any digital trail of that. We didn't get all the information we wanted because it just was too expensive to process. So that said, I'm very supportive of Freedom of Information Acts and what is derived from them. So we'll see how the ACLU fares on this. Facebook has been busted. Yes, Facebook employees have been busted for leaving 5-star reviews for the portal on Amazon. Yeah, they've been going through and writing rave reviews about the portal. And they are Facebook employees. So busted for pumping reviews on Amazon, and Facebook has asked their employees to remove the reviews immediately. Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty. All right, you're interested about rain? Well, how about rain on Saturn's huge moon Titan? Well, fresh rainfall has been spotted by NASA in a photo, And they're pretty excited about it. Now, I don't know what kind of rain this is, if it's carbon, who knows? I don't think it's water, but this was discovered here recently. But they say it's rain, sulfur, or is it truly actually or methane rain? Okay, that's, yeah, that's not the kind of rain you and I want to get caught out on. But anyway, this article is up in space.com. Also, those of you that are Star Trek Discovery fans, Return to Season 2 is tonight. So be aware, the second season is available on your screen via CBS All Access. And, of course, Thursday evenings at 8:30 Eastern or on demand if you have the service. Microsoft is committing to helping affordable housing in the Puget Sound region. They've announced that they're committed to addressing the problem of lack of affordable housing. Hey, Microsoft, you want to help that in Hawaii as well? But Microsoft has said that they're going to invest $225 million at lower than market rate returns to inject capital to subsidize the preservation and construction of middle income housing. They're going to invest $250 million at market rate returns to support low income housing across the entire King County region. Oh, the $225 million is going to be focused on six cities east of Seattle: Lake Washington, Bellevue, Kirkland, Redmond, Issaquah, Renton, and Sammamish. Areas are going to get that $225. Now, $25 million is going to be used in grants to help address homelessness in the greater Seattle region, and $5 million to support a joint agency on homelessness. This is good that Microsoft is doing this. Nice to see a company step up here a little bit. My apologies for coughing in your ear here. One thing that we saw at CES is a lot of health tech targeting aging folks, boomers and older. And lots of stuff helping to fight isolation, boost awareness, track medication usage, just the whole gamut of stuff. And a lot of tech right now in health tech. And we covered a great deal of it at CES during our live coverage. And this particular article that I'm linking to just shows some of a few of the hundreds of different products is out there that were really targeting health tech at large. There's a good article on CNET how you can stay clear of online scams. So some of you may be doing some spring cleaning soon, putting some stuff up on eBay for sale. This is a good cautionary article on what to watch out for if you're selling stuff online, to make sure you don't get ripped off or your PayPal account get emptied. You know, things to watch out for that are telltale signs that someone may be trying to rip you off if you're selling something online. Lifehacker has a good article, how to identify and report hate speech on social media. It kind of walks you through the process on what you do, a variety of services to report it. So I'll have that link up in the show notes as well. In a very remarkable video, and I would say this is probably the most important one of the day, a company or a startup in the UK have found how the application of what they're labeling laser shoes can help people with Parkinson's walk. Apparently, many people with Parkinson's disease have a freezing episodes when they walk. They basically stop. Their brain wants them to move, but they can't move. But using a series of lasers attached to your shoes or their shoes is helping some patients overcome this freezing by tricking the brain into doing what it's needed for you to make the next step. It's often being told that Parkinson's folks can easily climb stairs, but when it comes to walking on flat surfaces, they can have troubles. And this laser system seems to be helping some patients. So I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check it out. Jeff Bezos is launching a new conference dedicated to artificial intelligence, optimism, and Amazon. And the event is an extension of Amazon's semi-secret Mars conference that people really try to get to invited to. So we'll see what this new event is going to be. But I guess this will be a public conference, And again, one that embraces optimistic vision for scientific discovery. So link will be up in the show notes on that. Tim Cook is calling for regulatory body to oversee data brokers. In an open letter to Congress, he's basically said that he believes that the FTC should establish data broker clearinghouses, which will require all data brokers in the country to register. He comes up with a series of things that he thinks the government should do to protect our privacy. And there's a lot of good points in his letter here. In this, well, it's actually an op-ed piece for Time Magazine, but it spells out very clearly that what we all know, that privacy online and what we do with our mobile phones is very, very troubling. And people get away with a lot of stuff these days, and tracking us and really knowing more than they should about us in our digital footprint. All right, that's going to bring me to the end of the show here. Did pretty good. 50 minutes, even including my long dialogue at the beginning. So we'll get back in the groove here over the next week. But we'll have two shows next week on schedule. Don't worry about that. We'll be back. I will be back and doing the regular schedule. I don't foresee any issue in putting the show out at night like I normally do. But may make a run to a, if I get into Manhattan to B&H, maybe pick up a new headset. I don't know. We'll see. And maybe do some shopping online as well if I can get stuff delivered same day from Amazon. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed my getting you caught up on what's going on. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email. We definitely want you to get subscribed to the show. Definitely, those of you that are insiders already, thank you. Thank you so much for your ongoing contributions. If you're not an insider already, please consider becoming one at geeknewscentral.com/insider. And of course, definitely, thank you for your ongoing support of our sponsor, or my sponsor, GoDaddy, with those promos available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We'll be back with you on Monday for another show. I think it's Martin Luther King Day, I think. I hope I got that right. But we'll see you back here for a Monday show. Again, audio only, no video for the forthcoming number of shows. So everyone, thanks for hanging out. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Aloha.